Hey, soccer fans and SO peeps, it's great to be back for our weekly recap here at Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central. Again, I am your host, Nick, filling in for Mike while he's spending some much-needed time with his family. And tonight, we are going to be doing what we do best, talking MLS, recapping all the scores and headlights from around the league, and making sure you are up to speed with what I am calling an upside-down weekend in MLS. Was it week 18, 19, 20? I'm kind of lost with this congested schedule, but we're calling it week 19. We are going to be recapping all the action on this Monday, July 11th. But of course, we can't do it before we hit that intro. You guys ever have that intro music just kind of playing in the back of your head when you're doing chores around the house, when you're filling out spreadsheets at work? I do. It's catchy. Anyway, welcome back to another weekly recap of Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central, where we talk all things MLS, North American soccer, CONCACAF, Canada, U.S., Mexico, and yeah, you'll throw in a little Caribbean every now and then as well. But right now we are focusing on MLS, and we already got a couple people in our live chat. Brother BKL Contreras, our very own sportertainment guy. What's up, fellas? And Dan Gerringer. What's up, BKL? What's up, Dan? Great to have you guys jumping in with the chat. For tonight's episode, we're going to follow the usual format. We will round up around the league. Man, I think I'm coming a little too fast and furious right now. Let me take a step back. We are going to recap all the scores and headlines from around the league. And in the second half of the show, depending on my technical abilities, I'm going to try and bring in a friend of SOP, Connor McCabe from the Connor Knows Soccer channel on YouTube, and we're going to profile the Columbus Crew in this week's breakdown and team profile. So that being said, there is a lot to talk about, and we've got a new wise man jumping in the chat as well. So for those on the podcast side, make sure you come find us over on YouTube. That way you can join the live chats on Monday nights. You can get all the content. We'll be merging with another channel, the Wife Children House channel, and you will be getting Chicago Fire coverage. You'll also get your betting picks and predictions every week, as well as any of the live stream watch-alongs that we do. Everything gearing up towards World Cup this fall. And speaking of gearing up for the World Cup this fall, if you want to help the channel grow, help grow the conversation around the sport in this country, throw us a super chat on YouTube, send us a donation. I think we still have the Patreon account set up. Or if you'd like to discuss sponsorships, you can always email us at podcast@sonsofapitchsoccer.com. Anyway, let's get to the scores. And the weekend opened up on Friday, July 8th with a football score. Not a footy score, a football score here. We had Philly beating DC 7-0. Now, this isn't the Eagles and the Washington football team. This is the Union and DC United. And I can't believe that the Union were able to find 7 goals against DC United. Now, I know DC United, let's just say, is not having the best year, but I didn't think they would drop 7 goals, even being away in Philly. Now, Bedoya had a brace. Mikel Ura had a brace. And Julian Carranza with the hat trick. So 3 guys, 7 goals, Philly with the big win. And for you trivia nuts out there, this is tied for the biggest loss in MLS history. 7-0, that's right. I think there was maybe an 8-1 game in there somewhere, but 7-0 I think is even worse than getting blanked or than losing by 7, but getting 1. Anyway. The big news actually comes out of DC, and it's great that Philly found their offense. Don't get me wrong. I'm trying not to gloss over the Union here. But the big news recently out of DC is that Wayne Rooney is rumored to be back as their coach. Not coming back to play, but as the coach of DC. And Zachary Harden, thanks for jumping in the chat. He says, do you feel Rooney will actually come and manage DC United? I was skeptical about it at first. I thought it was maybe kind of a European rumor mill type of situation, especially with him on the outs at Derby County. But everything I've read said that there is an agreement in place. They just got to put pen to paper. And honestly, DC can't get much worse. Well, actually, they can, and it's called the Chicago Fire. But I like how a new Reisman says they had to get Rooney on the plane ASAP. He also says it is confirmed. So I think we're just waiting for that official signature on the line, and then we'll get the big announcement from the club. Now, the next game of the weekend, LAFC hosting the LA Galaxy. Similar to the Union's game, it did not disappoint from a goals scoring standpoint. The fireworks continued this weekend, especially along the West Coast. LAFC wins 3-2 in El Tráfico. And by the way, if you didn't know, it was MLS Rivalry Week, sponsored by Heineken. I'm not required to say that, but you know, you're going to hear it all over the place, so might as well give them their props for that. Get you used to it. Rivalry Week, and there was a lot of things that always go a little crazy with rivalry games, and we'll get into that. And that's why I said the MLS is upside down, right? Duke drops 7 on DC. LA gets the big win over rival Galaxy. And guys, it's LAFC season to lose. LAFC are in the driver's seat for Supporter Shield, for the Western Conference, for the entire league. They sign their big DPs. They keep getting wins. They're beating their rivals. And I get people whine about LA and LAFC getting all the coverage in this league, but man, after a game like last night, that's what they want. 5 goals. Cifuentes gets 2 headers for LAFC, and Arango gets on the board as well. Then Grancier and Revelison score for the Galaxy to keep things interesting, but it was a good game. You had the Stars coming out. Bale's in the stands. I didn't see where Chiellini was, if he had actually dressed for this game, if he was just kind of taking it all in with Bale. So if you guys know that, definitely mention it in the comments section here. But man, it was a game. Go find the highlights, because there are 5 highlight goals there for sure. And again, LAFC is in the driver's seat. It's them and everyone else right now. And the final game on Friday night, Vancouver hosts Minnesota United and loses to the Loons 3-1. Great come from behind victory for Minnesota, who are starting to find their groove a little bit. They've won their last 3 games and have scored 3 goals in each of those. Minnesota up to 6th place in the Western Conference. I think that they got that Adrian Heath contract extension settled. It really has kind of settled things down for the team. The players understand that they're going to be there. They know what the system is. They're not going to have to worry about being moved or transferred or a new coach coming in. They're just rolling. So good for Minnesota United. And here, totally forgot to throw up all the scores here, guys. Here we go. According to MLS.com, you can see the schedule recap here on the screen. The one goofy thing I got to tell you, though, is it looks like some of their games didn't load exactly the right way. So just take that with a grain of salt, right? Okay, so we're rolling into Saturday the 9th. And speaking of games that didn't load, the very first one, New York City FC defeats New England in New York 4-2. And the big news out of this game is that New York City got awarded 3 penalty kicks in this game, which is the most in MLS history. And has anyone apologized to Bruce Arena yet? Did you see that headline? In his postgame, he's saying somebody owes an apology. And, you know, maybe it's karma, because I don't ever remember Bruce Arena apologizing to anyone. But let's not go there. We don't need to rip on Bruce here. I think you either love him or you hate him at this point. So New York City gets those 3 PKs, converts 2 of them, gets the win. Excellent win by New York City to get 3 points rather than drawing or losses or close games, things of that nature. Get them back on the winning track. And we'll check to see where they're at in the standings after we do the league recap. All right, let's take a look at some of the comments. We got Talk NYCFC says Bruce shouldn't be apologized to. And I think you're kind of feeling my sentiment there. A new Wiseman said Chiellini was on the bench for that LAFC game. So good. He's starting to get fit a little bit for them, get into the lineup and kind of see things from the bench level in MLS. Connor Knows Soccer is in the chat, and he will be live with us in the second half of the show. So make sure you stick around, and we're going to talk about the Columbus Crew in the second half. Now, continuing down with rivalry matchups, the big one, Seattle hosting Portland. And this is part of the reason why I said MLS was upside down this week, because Portland goes into Lumen Field in Seattle and wins 3-0. And if our friend Rocky is out there talking to Woods, He called it. He said the Timbers play Seattle well. The Timbers are starting to get healthy, and don't be surprised when they upset Seattle at Seattle. And he was absolutely right. I mean, I never would have thought that. And in our picks and predictions, I said Seattle at home in a rivalry game, of course. But, you know, maybe it would have been different had they gotten the opener in the 15th minute. Maybe it would have been different if their keeper, if Portland's keeper, Ivancic, I'm messing that one up. Anyway, if he somehow doesn't make that like reaction save, or the ball just hits him right where he's standing, or maybe if Rui Diaz doesn't hit the woodwork in the 44th minute, it's a different game. But you know what? You need those bounces to win these big games, these rivalry games. And Portland got them. Now Nijgoda continues his scoring. And then Sounders Jackson Reagan gets the red card in the 46th. And, you know, from then on, Seattle just couldn't break down the Timbers in the second half. Portland had some great counterattacking opportunities. They do what they do best, defend and counter. And, you know, we've always said Seattle has been that second half of the season kind of team. Maybe this year we got to say that about Portland. If they finally get their guys healthy, if Blanco starts getting back into form a little bit, and if Nijgoda keeps finding the back of the net, never know. You never know what could happen for Portland. Let's check out a couple comments here. Brother BKL, NYCFC had three penalties. Talis Magno, Tati missed one as well. So absolutely could have been an even worse game from the Rev standpoint. Talk NYCFC says, Bruce Arena, the 71-year-old witch that is from the Stone Age, and he's responsible for the biggest USMNT failure. So I edited that comment a little bit, the 71-year-old witch part of it. But yeah, that's how a lot of younger fans and a lot of MLS fans know Bruce Arena, as the guy that lost in Cuba, who didn't get them qualified, who relied on old vets, who kind of still does that a little bit in New England, bringing in Jozy Altidore. But at least with some of the newer signings, maybe they're starting to change. And the fact that they're selling guys, maybe they're starting to change from an organizational standpoint. Zach Harden, welcome to the chat, my friend. He says, I feel your pain, talk NYCFC. I'm still amazed Roger put it away from 45 yards. That's fantastic. Good chat, guys. And again, if you're on the podcast, make sure you subscribe and jump in Monday evenings with the live chat. Continuing down, we have Austin, who goes to Atlanta and wins 3-0 in the Benz. And honestly, I expected Austin to win this game. Their offense has just been too good, and Atlanta's defense struggling, a lot of injuries. But this is Atlanta's worst home loss since joining the MLS. And Joseph Martinez, former Golden Boot winner, MLS Cup winner, MVP, all that good stuff for Atlanta, blasted his teammates for not coming in with the right mentality. If you go to MLSsoccer.com and find that article, you can read some of his exact quotes. But essentially, he's like, these guys are using everyone's injuries as an excuse to lose. So they're not training hard, they're not playing hard. And if you look at a couple of those goals, you can see a lot of Atlanta players just jogging it, dogging it back, not caring to get back on defense. So according to Joseph, Atlanta is lazy, and they looked it in large parts of this match. And according to everybody else, Austin has a great offense. So you put that together, and there's your 3-0 shellacking of Atlanta United in the Benz. Now, Charlotte hosting Nashville, and again, MLS is upside down this weekend, guys. Charlotte wins 4-1. I know they were the home team, but I did not expect this from Nashville to only find one goal and to struggle so mightily against expansion team Charlotte. Kudos to Christian Latanzio for what he's done as interim Charlotte coach. Definitely a signature win for them. Now, the next three games, though, for Charlotte are at Miami, at Toronto, and versus Columbus. And these are all winnable games for Charlotte. So they should be able to move up the table if they can continue this fine run of form that they're in. Well, this one game run of form, I should say. Meanwhile, is anyone worried about Nashville? Because Nashville's next three matches are versus Seattle, versus LAFC, and at Cincinnati. Three very losable games for Nashville. And I'm not sure if Seattle loses back-to-back games, right? So this could be a really tough stretch for Nashville, and we'll see really what they're made of. And if they can hold on, this is going to be one of those moments down the line where Nashville's coaching staff can point back and say, hey, remember when we lost and we had that tough run of games against quality top opponents? And what did we do? Did we come out and we win, or did we buckle? If they come out and they win, this will be a point of reference for the rest of their season for them. No doubt about it. Now, Cincinnati draws Red Bull 1-1 at home in Cincy. And the Red Bulls essentially press the Cincinnati offense into conceding or into scoring only one goal, right? Cincinnati could not get the rhythm flowing. But then again, Red Bulls themselves could not find the winner despite the pressing. Now, this is this an Eastern Conference playoff preview? Did we get a taste as to MLS postseason with this game? I think it would be really great if that were the case. I'd love to see Cincinnati start to build some rivalries outside of in-state Columbus. I think that would be great. I'm not going to say let's manufacture rivalries like the league does sometimes, right? But if you get some natural, you get some postseason games, some natural heated games, it can only help these players, the league, the profile of the clubs, and get the fans into it even more. All right, now we're going to shift out west for the last, not for the last, for the next game, Montreal hosting Sporting Kansas City. I did not see this one coming. Kansas City, one of the worst teams in the league, even though they haven't been playing like it in Open Cup, ends up finding a 2-1 victory at Montreal. And really, go find the Roger Espinoza goal on this one, because if he doesn't make just a spectacular individual effort to press the defense into a turnover and then score from like 40 yards out, chipping the keeper, I really don't see Kansas City having any chance of winning this game, let alone getting a draw. But he does it for them. It's his spectacular play. And, you know, I was going to say, like, hey, just call me when it's the U.S. Open Cup, but Kansas City can still surprise you. Meanwhile, Montreal need to find some consistency. And I guess the only thing we can say for Montreal is at least this was a loss to a non-conference opponent, so they're not going to drop too far in the standings as a result. Next matchup, Toronto FC hosting San Jose and drawing 2-2. Now, guys, I just don't like San Jose. Like, that's just personally me as a fan of MLS. I just don't like San Jose. As a guy who spent a lot of time watching Chicago and then having to continue to watch Francisco Calvo muck things up in San Jose, that's one thing. But I just don't like those guys. There's something about San Jose. Apologies to San Jose's fans. I'm sure you feel the same way about other teams. But somehow San Jose just sticks out to me. And maybe that last game against the Fire, when there could have been a red, there should have been a red card and could have been a few more yellows, I'm not sure that that's helping the case with me. But you know what? San Jose's taken 4 points from Chicago and TFC, you know, the two home teams of SOP Soccer Central here. So that could be it. But to their credit, Ebobise's tied for fourth in the Golden Boot. He's tied with Hani Mukhtar, and he's sitting behind Tati Castellano, Sebastian Jurisi, and Jesus Ferreira. So they have found their offense, despite kind of being a bit disorganized in the back at times. They have found a reliable and consistent goal scorer in Jeremy Ebobise. I'm glad he's finally kind of coming into his own. Great to see an American striker. Great to see a guy who I liked in Portland, but now he's playing a bit more centrally and doing it and scoring goals and helping his team win. So exciting to watch, you know, if I wasn't so against San Jose. Next up, Chicago Fire hosted the Columbus Crew, and we're going to hear a lot more about this from our friend John Donovan during our podcast halftime break. So make sure, if you're watching on YouTube, go subscribe to the podcast. That way you can get one of our good friends and longtime supporters, John Donovan, his take on all things Chicago Fire. But can I be stereotypical here and call it the tale of two halves? Chicago Fire dominate the first half, score two goals, suck it up in the second half, concede three, right? Well, so we'll hear more from John. We'll also chat with Connor a little bit about it and how maybe this is a turning point for the Columbus Crew season. Next matchup, Houston 2, Dallas 2. We get the intrastate rivalry going here. Forget, is this one for the cannon? This is El Capitan was at stake here, guys, I think. Hector Herrera makes his debut for Houston, which is the big news, but it ends up being a 2-2 draw. A lot of excitement in this game. Again, go back, find your highlights, and we'll check the standings and see if Houston can make some noise a little bit. Also, RSL draws 2-2 at home to Colorado. Rocky Mountain Cup rivalry here. Colorado, good come from behind draw. RSL's got to feel disappointed. And if you read Justin Miram's quotes after the game, I think you'll feel disappointed for them too. This was a game they really felt that they should have won, could have won. dropping a rival, dropping points to rivals like that. Can't allow it. Next up, Orlando, final game of the weekend. Orlando hosts Miami, another Sunshine State rivalry there. Orlando comes away, squeaks away with a 1-0 victory over the Herons of Inter Miami because it's an own goal from Damian Lowe in stoppage time. That was the difference. And since we're hitting all sorts of crazy trivia here for this wild MLS weekend, that was actually the first own goal in stoppage time in MLS. And big thanks to Matt Doyle over at Major League Soccer at MLSsoccer.com for loading some of his articles up with trivia over the weekend. Guys, I still can't figure out Orlando's offense, right? They controlled the second half, but had one shot on goal the entire game. You know, this was a team that, again, they were running against the fire, who played well, who Ersin Cara is getting on headers. He's getting in dangerous spaces. They seem to have gotten away from that or have been unable to create for him. I thought Pato would be a lot more dangerous throughout the course of the season. I thought he would be a lot more influential on some of these games. But I'm just wondering what's going on with Orlando's offense. They should be better than this, right? Some people are saying that Oscar Pareja might be on a hot seat. But you know what? Considering what they were before he got there, you're going to give the guy at least to the end of the season and a shot at the playoffs before you make any sort of rash decision like that. Meanwhile, Miami looked lost for long stretches of the game, and it's no surprise that they go out and get a player like Alejandro Pozuelo, who's transferring in from Toronto, because he should come in, be able to provide a lot of that link-up play, the good passing, the ball distribution, and just that steadiness that I think this team needs, because you got to remember Miami was built around their big DP signings who have all pretty much been flops and then they get sanctioned. So they got to kind of rethink how they are putting together their team, right? They've had a lot of younger player signings or inter-league signings lately. So hopefully Pozuelo can come in, give them that creativity in the attack, give them some cohesiveness and kind of steady the ship in Miami, so to speak. So let's take a quick look at some of the comments. Dan Gehringer's got to run. He's got to get the dog out. Had a long day at work. Dan, do you ever work short days? Doesn't seem like it, but I'm glad you got to jump in and join us for a little bit. Zach Harden says, SKC's two new signings are stuck in immigration paperwork. The bureaucracy even gets to the MLS. So he's hoping for a second season turnaround, but Vermees is secure in his position as manager. I agree with you as far as the Vermees comment goes. We've talked about it a little bit on here. I've kind of had a soft spot for Kansas City. They were my Western Conference team for a very long time. I remember as a kid just like being in awe over what Preki could do and the cool Wiz jerseys and things. So growing up, I kind of drifted towards Kansas City a bit. Now that I'm older, I definitely appreciate everything that Vermees has done. On the management side, on the coaching side, tactical player development, all that sort of thing. And we talked about Kansas City some episodes back, and it seemed like this is just a down year for them, right? They're battling injuries. Their roster is getting older, needs to get turned over a little bit. So it's just a down year for Kansas City, I believe. So I'm with you on that one. He also says, Connor, we lose against 10 men Red Bulls, but defeat Montreal. That's it. That's Kansas City this year. Connor says they played 112 minutes in the Dallas-Houston game because the ref added 12 minutes at the end. That might be the most stoppage time I've seen. I'm assuming that has to do with a hydration break being in there. I didn't get a chance to watch that game, but 12 minutes of stoppage time. I mean, unless we're talking about EPL goalie time wasting, it's got to be hydration break. Cheers. Anu Wiseman says Chelsea's gotten a verbal agreement from Chicago for a $10 million transfer for goalkeeper Gaga Slonina. Absolutely right. We just got some of that news reported today. It had been in the works. Chelsea was the original team. Then Real Madrid comes in and lowballs Chicago. And Chicago says he's the best goalkeeping prospect in the world. Screw you, Real Madrid. Even if you are Real Madrid, we don't need to take your lowball offers. And now they're going to get $10 million from Chelsea. I'm guessing there's going to be some incentives in there. Everyone is assuming that there's going to be a loan back for at least the rest of the season. Though if I'm Gaga, like, jeez, would you want to stick around in Chicago the rest of the season? And I'm sure he does. I'm sure he wants to prove himself, and I'm sure he wants to win a few games for the Chicago Fire fans. But I'm just kind of being an ass here, just saying, like, why would you want to play behind that defense and midfield any longer? Let's see. Talk NYCFC says, once Joseph leaves Atlanta, they will become a bottom feeder club, and I'm just being honest. I think most people agree with me on that take. So that's interesting because Atlanta has been plagued by injuries. You're right that their offense has struggled, even with Joseph in it, because he is not back to that 100% Joseph Martinez form that we all remember from when Atlanta was competing for trophies and cups and things. But they've had a pretty solid defense, and really the injuries to defense have hurt them. A lot of people are going to say Darlington Nagbe's departure hurt them as well. And yeah, I guess to some extent, I'm not a huge fan of Darlington Nagbe's style of play. A lot of people are, and it's very useful. So if you get these guys back from injury, an average Joseph Martinez can be replaced. So I don't think they're going to fall as far as you think, but they're definitely not competing for trophies anytime soon. All right, let's see what else we got. I think those are all the big comments that we wanted to get to here. Zach Harden adds again, Peluto and Kinda injured. Zusi and Roger getting an age. Got to trust the Academy kids. Excellent comment there about Kansas City. J. Jardim says, Nick, you ready for Wednesday? Jay, I'm not even thinking about Wednesday, man. Is that's Chicago-Toronto, right? That's TFC is coming to Soldier Field. I think Mike actually has got tickets, and he'll be at the game. So if you guys are there, hit up Mike. Send him a message on Twitter at SOP Soccer or sonsofapitchsoccer@gmail.com. He'll be there. Look for the big guy in the Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central t-shirt. Actually, look for the guy chasing around a bunch of kids. Anyway, it should be a good game, Jay. Fire have played well at home, and hopefully they can get back into the win column. Now let's take a quick look at the standings before we get into our halftime break. And no surprise out west with LAFC atop the standings there. Just waiting for MLSsoccer.com to load things up here. I don't know if it's my internet or their servers, guys, but something goofy's going on over with MLSsoccer.com's website. So we have in the Western Conference, LAFC, Austin, Salt Lake, and Dallas as your top four teams. So Dallas, despite not having the best run of form lately, drawing in their rivalry game to Houston, they still are sitting in that top four spot, followed by the Galaxy, Minnesota United, and Nashville in 5, 6, and 7. Seattle and Portland are knocking on the door. They're just 1 point behind Nashville. And then rounding out the bottom of the table, Vancouver, Houston, Colorado, Kansas City, and San Jose. So, you know, those teams got a little bit of work to do if they want to make a push up. Looking in the Eastern Conference, top of the East, Red Bulls. This is the first time they've been atop of the Eastern Conference this season. They've been hanging around, but now they are officially first in the East on 33 points, tied with Philly, who's had 33 points, but Philly's got that game in hand. Meanwhile, NYC, two games in hand on the Red Bulls, sitting in third place, Montreal in fourth. Orlando, Charlotte, and Cincinnati round out the top half of the Eastern Conference. And then you've got Columbus right below that playoff line, just a point behind hated rivals Cincinnati. And then New England and Miami still fighting to get into that seventh spot. The bottom of the East, Atlanta, Toronto, DC, and Chicago. Not so sure any of those four teams can do enough at the end of the season to make or push into the playoffs. And, you know, a 3-point gap between 9 and 10, New England, Miami, almost looks to be a big gap at this point in the season. So fans, with that, we are going to take a quick halftime break. If you're on the podcast side of things, you're going to hear our Chicago Fire update from John Donovan, our good friend and supporter of the show. If you're on the YouTube side of things, I'm going to stretch out, massage the vocal cords a little bit, get a little drink of water here, pour myself a little Skira Icelandic spring water, one of the sponsors of our show. And in the second half, we'll be right back with Connor Knows Soccer, talking the Columbus Crew. Don't go away.
This MLS Weekly Recap is sponsored by Skira Icelandic spring water, available at your local 7-Eleven. Icelandic for clear, Skira water comes from a spring in a nature preserve in Iceland with naturally low mineral content. This isn't your average water. Clearly, yes, pun intended, it's one of the best. Get some Skira today at your local 7-Eleven. And now it's time for our weekly Chicago Fire update, brought to you by John Donovan. Take it away, John.
Nick, John Donovan here, covering the MLS and the Chicago Fire. What a game last night, Nick. Honestly, I taped the game and I woke up this morning and I thought that I probably had a nightmare. And I went down and watched the game again and I did not have a nightmare. The Fire lost 3-2. That is after going into the locker room at halftime, dominating the Crew. I mean, dominating. They were 7-2 on shots on goal. But that literally was not a good formula to describe the game. The Fire just, with the press, they overwhelmed the Crew. The scoring that they had was, Mueller had a beautiful shot and Cheesenose had a header in, but they just dominated. Every play, the Fire was all over the Crew. I just couldn't imagine a change coming on, but everybody played well. The second half was a totally different game. Early on in the game, or at the 74th minute, there was a quick throw in that caught our old buddy Espinosa ball watching. And one of the changes that Porter did was he put in Etienne Jr. in, who is a lightning quick. He's burned a lot of teams. And he was a good 6 yards behind Espinosa before he knew he even had the ball. Went in one-on-one with the goalie, scored. It was a 2-1 game. I you could just feel that Porter had made some changes and Ezra had not. Now, at halftime or at the end of the game interview, he admitted that he knew that they had this speed on the bench, but he made no adjustments. I mean, he stayed with Navarro and Espinosa on the wings, and he got burnt. The second goal was a quick throw-in that caught Espinosa again, ball watching, and it was a score. Etienne again, two goals by Etienne on that left side against Espinosa. This is the same Espinosa that lost the Omaha game. I don't know why Ezra is going with this guy. It's really making me wonder about the quality of our coaching staff. So at the final part of the game, there was a score at the 85th minute, and the Crew has spent $10 million on a guy whose nickname is Cucho. His real last name is Hernandez. They purchased him from a Premier League team that was being sent down in the league to the Championship League. And did he burn the fire? It was a bad pass by Herbers that Navarro, the midfielder, could not get to. It was a pass to Cucho, who was cutting in alone on Gaga. And he just scored. I mean, he just flipped the ball right over the top of him. It was a 3-2 game before you even realized that the Fire had lost their lead. I mean, it just was an amazing change of game and very smart gamesmanship by Porter. Apparently, as I said, Ezra knew that there was speed on the bench. He made no adjustments. Another thing that was odd was he took Shakir off the field again. Now, this is our $8.7 million DP. He can't make a full game anymore. He had one good shot during the game, but not much of an impact in the game. The first half, everybody had an impact, but Shakira, I think that we got to look at his three goals, two which were penalty kicks, as probably another one of Heinz's mistakes. He did play Torres at the end, but virtually did nothing. What happened at the 87th minute was quite interesting. Our buddy Navarro, who has had quite a few, I think this is his second red card, but this was a straight red card. He had had a yellow. He got another yellow. The referee looked at the penalty, which was a hard elbow to the face of the winger, the right wing on the Crew, and he gave him a straight red, which means he is suspended for 3 games. So he has missed 4 games through the virus and now another 3 games because of a straight red. He's missed another game because of a red card. So you got to think that Mr. Navarro will be back in Venezuela playing down there, because he showed probably progress early on in the season, but these guys and their ability to control themselves. I think there was 5 yellow cards against the Fire this game, which really limits the quality and the play. So I'm kind of fed up with the same mistakes made time after time, and expecting a different ending. Ezra has really made some peculiar moves. I mean, Duran, I did like watching Duran play center. Is he a center forward for this league? I don't know. He's a rookie. We'll have to see what the fire does with him. Chibilko came in late in the game and did nothing. So I would say the most valuable player for the Fire again in this game was Mueller, who came in on a transfer into the season. So, you know, it's just the Fire. Why are they, you know, Charlotte is a better team. Nashville is a better team. The Fire are dead last in the league, tied with DC, who lost 7-0 to Philadelphia. So this is not going well. Toronto comes in this week, Wednesday, and they've got this superstar from Italy coming with them. Who knows how I believe they tied a game, but they will come in a lot better than the last time they played the Fire. And then Seattle comes in this weekend. So, you know, I thought that the Fire had to get at least 6 points out of this weekend to even have a sniff of the playoffs. And now, folks, the season is over with. I think that we have to look at next season and see who is going to make this squad. I hope he puts Reynolds in this coming week to play that Navarro spot. So, Nick, I will talk to you next week, or I'll talk to you next week about two games rather than one. It'll be Toronto and Seattle. The Fire, you know, for next year, it'll be another starting year, Nick. Take care. Have a good evening. Bye.
Thanks for that Chicago Fire update, John. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, soccer fans, we are back. First of all, thank you to John Donovan, our Chicago Fire fan and longtime friend and supporter of Sons of a Pitch, for his recap and discussion on all things Fire. Now we are in the second half of our show, and we are happy to welcome Connor McCabe to the show to do our team profile here with us. He is, I'll call him a Columbus Crew super fan, you know, diehard. He's got his own YouTube channel out there, streaming games, making comments, active on Twitter. Connor, how are you, my friend? Great to have you on the show.
Going on, Nick. Thank you for having me on. What's going on, everyone? Hope everything is going well. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Connor, let's just dive right in here, man. Like, there's a lot to talk about with this Columbus Crew team. Right now, they're eighth in the East, 6 wins, 7 draws, 5 losses. 23 goals for, 20 goals against, but they're playing pretty well. Last 5 games, 2 wins and 3 draws. So give me your take and your reaction on the season so far, and what's Cucho Hernandez going to do for him? That's been the biggest news.
All right. So first of all, the first half of the season was, pardon my French, but it was an absolute shit show. From February, March, kind of like, meh. And then we hit that April to May skid, and it's like, what the fuck is going on here? You know, this is where we saw the people on hashtag Crew96 Twitter saying, oh, Caleb Porter, oh, he doesn't get tactics right. But, yeah, in the we're unbeaten in the last five or six. And I hope this train can keep it rolling as far as it can. Because there's a point kind of like in that May, April stint where I was just like, I don't know if I could do this anymore. It was that bad of a stint.
Well, I can certainly commiserate with you on that. You know, I've been putting out some Chicago Fire content and being the local guy, getting a lot of Chicago Fire news. It's been really hard to watch the hometown team struggle so mightily. So maybe the Crew can be an example for the Fire of kind of how to dig themselves out of it. And it was a great matchup between the two teams. And you're right. Everyone who's hating on Caleb Porter, all they got to do is watch this game against the Fire, because he did some tactical moves and really just outcoached Ezra Hendrickson, got his guys in the right places. Brought in Kevin Molino. Etienne had himself a game. So talk to us a little bit more about Caleb Porter. Has he just kind of been like holding back a little bit? Like, what kind of a coach is he? What can we expect from him going forward?
That's a tough question. As far as my knowledge, we've changed formations three times. We started the year with a 4-3-3. Then we moved to the 3-5-2. And most recently, we moved to the, let me pull it up here, the 4-2-3-1. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that was because teams start to figure you out if you play the same formation over and over again. Because from the start of the season to about, I want to say May-ish, early June, we played a solid 4-3-3. And then teams started to figure that out. And then we moved on to the 3-5-2. Well, lo and behold, turns out we didn't have the personnel to play a back three. And in recent games that has exposed, excuse me a minute, when I try to figure my technical issues out.
Yeah, no worries, man. You're absolutely right. And it's interesting as someone who follows the league one, but also follows Chicago very closely, because Ezra Hendrickson, you know, was an assistant under Caleb Porter and adopted kind of that 4-2-3-1 that they use a lot. And but Ezra has been a lot more inflexible, can I say, less flexible than Caleb Porter has been in tweaking his tactics a little bit and changing his lineup a bit. And really, you saw that when he made some changes in the Chicago game. Nothing bigger than Cucho Hernandez, right? Like, talk to us about that. Like, how did this happen? Like, did this come out of the blue? Like, as a Crew fan, like, what was your reaction when you heard that this is one of their targets and that they actually got him?
As well, even before they signed him, there was rumblings that he was one of the final four. As somebody who's highly active on Crew Twitter, and if you follow me, you know that there were our main target. What I can't remember his name right now. I think he plays for Pumas Yingnam. Sure. He was our main target, and then we couldn't get him. And then the rumors started to swirl of Cucho Hernandez coming in. And then I think a week or two after that, fans pretty much saying, announce Cucho already, blah, blah, blah. We got this first teaser video of a now famous white coffee mug. And it has the Crew on it. And it's coffee brewing into this mug. And the caption was, "Something's brewing."
I remember that, yeah.
And then a lot of people were saying in the replies and in the quote tweets, it was like, "I prefer my coffee Colombian" or something like that. And and then as things started to pick up, it was mid-June. They finally announced him that it was a $9.5 million transfer just to get him over here. And then after that transfer, there were some things with visa issues. He had to go back to Colombia and all that. So he wasn't technically announced. Well, he was announced on social media, but he was presented to the fans the last week of June. It would have been the day of the Toronto FC game.
Right. Well, excellent, man. So how do you think he's going to fit into what the Crew are trying to do tactically? I don't know if you got a chance to watch him when he was playing for Watford over in the English league. Do you expect him to come in and, you know, be scoring a couple goals every game or so? Or is he going to kind of fit into a bit of a role system or a role and maybe take some time to get acclimated here in MLS?
Well, right now they're going to bring him in as second half subs, as super subs, as we saw Saturday night. But I think once he gets his feet under him and once he kind of learns how the MLS game is played, as opposed to Spain or to, England.
Right.
Once he adapts to that, then look out. because that dangerous that combination between Zerion and Kucher Hernandez is going to be hard to stop.
No doubt. And I think that was one of the things that Cucho even said. He's like, I get to play with Lucas Zelarayán. Like that, mm-hmm. that was an appeal for him picking the Columbus Crew, being mm-hmm. able to play with a guy of that kind of caliber. But man, I hope he gets rolling for Columbus' sake, because next week you guys are away at DC, who is mightily struggling, especially coming off a 7-0 drubbing by the Union. And then the following week, you're hosting the Hell is Real Derby against mm-hmm. Cincinnati. And then you've got New England and Charlotte. So this is a really good stretch of games here to really test, you know, the Columbus Crew medal here and see where Cucho can fit in as far as the mm-hmm. league goes. What are you expecting out of the Columbus Crew over the next 3-4 games and then for the rest of the season?
Honestly, or do you want my honest opinion, or do you want my hopeful, or do you want my heart's thoughts?
Well, like, well, the lawyer in me says always answer honestly, but you know what? We're doing a YouTube video here, Connor, so play it up, whatever you want to do.
All right, DC, W, check that off. Cincinnati, it's at home, going to be sold out. I don't see this type of form that Cincinnati's keeping, W. New England, possibly a 1-1 or 2-2 draw. And then at Charlotte, tough place to play. That's a toss up.
There you go.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Did you say something?
No, go ahead, man. Go ahead. Finish your thought on Charlotte Columbus.
And then Charlotte, that's a toss up. I say we either keep it a close draw, like a 0-0 or 1-1, or we get absolutely schlacked. That's just how these things go.
Gotcha. So big picture now, Columbus is sitting in eighth place. They're mm-hmm. just below the Eastern Conference playoff line. What do you think happens the rest of the season? Do they get into the playoffs? Do they make a run? Are they just going to be happy to be there? What exactly do you see for Columbus Crew at the end on decision day?
There's no reason now that we shouldn't finish fifth or fourth. You know, I said this on the stream Saturday night. I said, well, I guaranteed it, but I think I have to take back what I say now. I said there's a possibility that we could get a home playoff game. Would I love to see it? Absolutely. Do I think it's possible? 50-50. But there's no reason with the amount of talent and everybody's coming off of injury, which is knock on wood, stays that way, then there's no reason why we shouldn't make a deep playoff run.
Well, here's what's interesting. I'm looking at the standings here, and for those of you watching along on YouTube, take a look at the goal differential statistic. Columbus is eighth place. They have a +3 goal differential. The four teams ahead of them all have negative goal differentials. That is crazy for me to see that mm-hmm. Montreal is fourth place in the Eastern Conference, but has a -2 goal differential. So Columbus, looking at that, to me is poised to make a jump up the table over the next several games. We talked about Orlando not being able to find their offense. Charlotte's kind of hot cold. So, and I don't really see anyone other than New England and Miami who are below Columbus really trying to make a strong push up the table. So I'm with you. I think Columbus is in a very good position at this point in the season to push into the playoff picture. I would say fourth place is best case scenario mm-hmm. for any club in the Eastern Conference other than Red Bulls, New York City, and Philly. But it would be great to see Columbus there, man, especially mm-hmm. after missing the playoffs last year. And do you think that playoff miss is affecting their signings right now?
I don't know. Last year, it was an injury-riddled squad. Like, for example, Aiden Morse, who's been beasting it this year, out with an ACL tear all year last year. Zerion on and off the pitch with injuries. Harrison Offel off and on the pitch, off and on with injuries. when you have these injuries to key guys, it affects your team because you have to rotate your squad and put guys in that normally wouldn't get a lot of minutes. Now,
yep.
Speaking of not a lot of minutes, can somebody please tell me why in the hell Derek Etienne is not a regular starter anymore? Please, anybody. Can anybody answer that question for me? Because I tried to figure that out and I can't.
Well, I think that's the answer right there, man, is he needs to be getting regular minutes. And maybe this game is the one that helps him get back into that starting lineup. And, you know, funny story, I think we were chatting on Twitter. I remember when he got released from Red Bulls, I was taking flack on the podcast by people who are like, Etienne's a bust. He'll go to USL and maybe get on a team in USL, this and that. I'm like, no, this dude is a solid MLS player. He's got the experience. He came up in a good system. Someone's going to mm-hmm. scoop him up. And within 24 hours of him being released by the Red Bulls, the crew grabbed him, and I don't think they regret it one bit. He's been one of my favorite players to watch for the crew, as well as Pedro Santos. And I want to ask you, you know, just final thoughts on some of the players before, you know, we get a little bit more info about you. What's going on with Pedro Santos's position? Like, is he playing wing back? And how long do you expect to see that?
Originally, he started to play left back at the beginning of the season. And then with all these different formation changes, he's been playing left wing back or left back, or I don't know. The thing that I would like to see is he's versatile and he can get up the pitch and create havoc. And not only can he do that on the offensive side, he can cause problems on the defensive side. I've seen several times this year where he has saved our asses on the defensive side. But and even if it's just somehow getting there at the last minute to clear a ball or something, I'm going to get a lot of slack for this, but I think he's the best left wing back in the league. Y'all can come after me if you want, but I'm just saying that's my opinion.
And you know, my encyclopedic knowledge of left wing backs in MLS is lacking a little bit. So I'm going to take what you say at your face value and think about that for a little bit more. We do have a few comments here. And first of all, Red Bull Insider says, you know, a couple minutes ago, Red Bull's confirmed signing Steven Serwanda and have loaned him and loaned out Juan Castillo. So there's some news coming out from the Red Bull side of things. Talk NYCFC say crew wins that game 5-0. I think he's talking about the DC game. That would be fantastic. And Etienne, I'm getting word from some of our other people that he never played for the Red Bulls at all, never saw him on the pitch.
I bet they're regretting that at this very moment. Yeah.
But, you know, if he didn't fit what the Red Bulls were trying to do, I get it. But, hey, it's all to the crew's benefit, man, and a great, great managerial move by them. So, Connor, I want to thank you for all the Columbus crew talk and knowledge. Tell us, let's just talk a little bit, though, about you, man. Like, how did you get into MLS? How'd you get into soccer? And then after that, let us know the best place that we can find you and keep up to date with all your content.
Well, believe it or not, I started watching soccer during the MLS's back tournament. And then I didn't really watch much of the MLS regular season, but how I got started was watching the English Premier League. That's how I got started. And if I could give a word of advice to anybody who's getting into soccer, don't do what I did and start off with European sides, because with a bunch of different clubs in Europe and all these different leagues, it's hard to find the team to stick with. But, like, for me, if you have a local MLS club or in your city or close to your city, follow them and stick with them and then branch out to these European leagues. What else was that? Yeah, I didn't really start following the crew, like following, until last year. Last year was my first full season. And, yes, exactly, RBI. Yes.
So we got a question from a new Wiseman, Connor. Who's your EPL club then? And did they just get relegated then?
No. I picked Arsenal because I opened the peripheral book of the Premier League and I looked at the letter A and it said, Arsenal. Boom. There we go.
Not bad.
But if you want an actual team that I try to watch week in, week out, it's got to be Barca for sure. I got a bunch of jerseys hanging up right in front of me. So got to be Barca for sure.
Beautiful. Great, Connor. And where can everyone find your YouTube channel and where are you at on Twitter?
You can find me on YouTube at Connor Knows Soccer. It's pulled up right here on the screen. I watch every Columbus Crew game that I can, unless something dramatic happens. From what I've been hearing, I'm known for my enthusiastic goal celebrations, like the game winner that Chucho scored against Chicago. So yeah, I went semi-viral for a few of them. And then I have two Twitter accounts that you can follow me on. First, you can follow me on my personal, which is at Connor McCabe. And then I have a specific soccer account, which is called Connor Knows Soccer. And you can find me on there at Connor Knows Footy. That is my soccer account, my personal account. It's just like, whatever.
Awesome. Well, Connor, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for all the insight on the Crew. Great to hear how you got into the sport and following it along yourself. Dude, MLS is back was a great way to start because it was a wild, wild tournament coming back after the pandemic. And a great place for you to start. Great place to get into Major League Soccer here. Yep. Any final thoughts?
What was I going to say? Oh. Nah, I lost it. Never mind. A few final thoughts. I think we got something special here in the Columbus area, which is kind of sad that I'm going to be leaving them next summer. I'll be moving down south to the Carolinas. But Columbus is always at my heart, man. My first thought is whoever I end up with, I hope they learn to love the Crew as well, because I don't know. It's just like they're my first love. You know?
I've said the same thing to my wife. I'm like, honey, you're my true love, but soccer was my first love. So, Connor, thanks again, man. And everyone, make sure you get out there. Follow Connor on all his social media channels. We've looked at the screens on YouTube, so you can check it out. Connor, thank you again, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Nick.
Well, everyone, that kind of wraps our episode this week. MLS, maybe week 19. Or who knows, right? Teams have played between 18 and 20 games. MLS is upside down. You saw the results. You saw the rivalry matchups. And we're going to be back again next week, July 18th, another Monday night. So set your calendars. Same SOP time, same SOP channel. Thank you to everyone who jumped in the chat. Talk NYCFC, A New Wiseman, Brother BKL, Red Bull Insider, RBI, Jay Jardine, Dan Gehringer. Big special thank you to Connor McCabe from Connor Knows Soccer to share with us everything Crew related. Zach Harden, really appreciated all of your Sporting Kansas City comments tonight. And remember, if you're on the podcast side of things, find us on YouTube at SOP Soccer Central. That way you can join our chat, get all of our content, and stay tuned with all the latest that's going to happen on the show when we get rolling and approaching World Cup. And if you are on the YouTube side of things, make sure you get on the podcast so you can get the special edition podcast that may be. Oh, did I say something? Maybe we might be doing that. We might be doing some special podcasts, but you got to subscribe. You got to rate and review, and you got to show the interest there, because then we may be doing some special World Cup stuff on the podcast side of things, some quick reactions and quick takes. Anyway, everyone, I am Nick from Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central. Find us on Twitter at SOP Soccer. Email us, sonsofapitchsoccer@gmail.com. And we will be here all week with our other videos and back again live next week. Fans, friends, enjoy the matches. And thanks again, as always. Hey, soccer fans, Nick again here for SOP, Sons of a Pitch, Soccer Central. I teased it the last couple of episodes, doing a post-credits reveal kind of thing for you here. Wanted to share with you some old soccer memorabilia that I had dug up as I was kind of cleaning things out of our crawl space here. This is Major League Soccer. Impossible is nothing. This poster, and I'm sorry, my green screen is kind of getting to some of it. This poster, an Adidas advertisement when they put out their new shoes, contains some of just the best players to come through, as well as just some other big names. You've got Josie from the Red Bulls. You got Moe Dude TFC, Parkhurst with the Revs. We come across the question with Chivas, as well as David Beckham on the Galaxy. And let me see here. Maybe I can switch up my green screen a little bit. Maybe it looks like they're hanging out here with me in the chat. Nope. Anyway, just a really cool piece of like MLS memorabilia. Again, Beckham, Kleschen, Eddie Robinson of the Dynamo, Kenny Cooper of Dallas, Kai Kamara, San Jose. This poster came out in 2008 and Kai Kamara is still playing. Pablo Mascherani for the Rapids, Nathan Sturgis for RSL, Michael Harrington of the Kansas City Wizards, Danny O'Rourke of the Crew, Chad Barrett for Chicago, Michael Parkhurst, New England, Luciano Emilio of DC, Moe Du of TFC, and Josie Altidore of RBNY. So just wanted to share with you that old piece of memorabilia and our post-credit scene here. Might turn these into some YouTube shorts. If there's something that you have that you want featured and want us to show, send us a picture, sonsofapitchsoccer@gmail.com or at SOP Soccer. Anyway, hope you had a fun little walk down memory lane there. I know I did. Take care, fans.